AK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. At least six people are injured, police say, and a suspect in custody after an active shooter incident at Florida State University in Tallahassee. When shots rang out, FSU issued an emergency alert telling people to shelter in place. ABC's Victor Oquendo says the FBI also on scene, and it could take time to clear the area.
It is a massive, it is a sprawling campus. If this did happen at the student union in the middle of the day on a Thursday, I can't imagine how many students, like teachers, how many people would have been around that student union right now. Last check, Florida State University is still telling their students to continue to shelter in place.
Students who were able to evacuate reacting to the shooting.
It's definitely shocking to me right now. Generally, Florida State University is a very safe campus. I know they have a good amount of police presence.
President Trump at the White House says he's been briefed and called the shooting, quote, horrible. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Democrats have introduced an amendment aimed at enshrining a commitment to environmental conservation in the state constitution. The Green Amendment has been introduced in the past, but on Wednesday, state Democrats announced they're taking another crack at it. The amendment would make it a constitutional right for residents to have access to clean water and air, as well as a stable climate and healthy environment. Three other states already have a Green Amendment, and a handful of other states are still considering one. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding boaters and paddlers that early spring weather conditions could make getting out on the water dangerous. According to a press release, residents looking to enjoy the warmer weather could still see dangerous conditions like dramatic temperature fluctuations, high winds, or flooding. Recent winter storms could also have left downed trees or debris just below the surface of the water. Residents should always wear a life jacket, track weather conditions, and boat with caution this spring. A Duluth man was arrested this week after a routine traffic stop allegedly led to the recovery of over 15 pounds of drugs. According to the Duluth Police Department, officers pulled over a 63-year-old suspect for a traffic stop and say they discovered nearly 140 grams of methamphetamine and 40 grams of cocaine. On Tuesday morning, law enforcement authorities executed a search warrant at the suspect's home in the East Hillside neighborhood, allegedly recovering an additional 62 grams of cocaine and different types of ammunition. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has approved a nearly $3.7 million contract for a resurfacing project on Highway 63 in Barron County. Monarch Paving Company of Amory was selected as the primary contractor for the project, which will see resurfacing on Highway 63 between Highway 48 and Shari Lane in the city of Cumberland. A public meeting on the details of the project will be held on Tuesday at Cumberland City Hall from 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Construction is scheduled to wrap up in September, and the highway will remain open to traffic. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers tank the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-1 win over the Tigers. Sal Frelick hit his first home run of the season and talked about getting back-to-back victories to win the series after losing to Detroit Monday 9-1.
Super short memory in this locker room. Ton of guys, you know, were just showing up the next day. Long season, so I mean, wins and losses. You have a good win next day, you have a tough loss. Yeah, just keeping that short memory in the locker room.
Basketball, the Bucks head to Indy to play the Pacers Saturday. Game one of their best-of-7 playoff series. In Green Bay, the NFL draft now just 1 week away. Packers president Mark Murphy.
This is the second biggest event that the league has. It's exciting that we're able to have it here in Green Bay, and the economic impact, I think it's $94 million statewide. There'll be 250,000 people here over the 3 days. It'll be a 3-day commercial for Wisconsin and Green Bay, and it's just publicity that, you know, you really can't match.
That's the Packers' Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and breezy today, with high temperatures reaching the low 60s and scattered showers rolling in late this afternoon. As they continue through this evening, chances of thunderstorms are also possible, bringing the risk of hail. We're expected to pick up around a half an inch of rainfall. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 54. Get a sneak peek at the 2025 Wisconsin football team. Join us April 19th for Wisconsin Football Spring Showcase presented by UW Credit Union. The day kicks off at the Kohl's Kids Combine, followed by Badgers open practice at noon, featuring new faces like quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. and offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes. After practice, head to the field for photos with Badgers student-athletes. Tickets are $5 and free for football season ticket holders, UW students, and kids under 12. Claim your tickets for the Wisconsin Football Spring Showcase at uwbadgers.com.
Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, tariffs and Wisconsin businesses. How is that working out? We talk to James Vanderloo. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Hi, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Take a listen.
Are you going to bring that guy back from El Salvador?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, because that's not a power of Congress.
The Supreme Court said to bring him back.
Judges are.
Yeah, but
the president
has
it.
What
can they do?
He's defined the Constitution
right?
Committee.
Trump don't care.
If I get an order to pay a ticket for $1,200 and I just say no, does that stand up?
Because
he's got an order from the Supreme Court and he just said no.
Yeah. Screw it.
The president of that country is not subject to our U.S. Supreme Court.
Everybody, I'm pissed. It's going to be the theme today. That was Senator Chuck Grassley. He's a senator from Iowa. Iowa is a deeply red, ruby red Republican state. Now, just a note, I know that I believe it was some small county in or district in Iowa had a special election and a Dem won in that district where Trump had won in November by a huge margin. So, you know, rumblings afoot. But I love the guy. I'm pissed. What are you talking about? And the anemicness of Chuck Grassley's response is truly shocking. That other voice you're hearing, everybody, is my most favorite guest co-host on Thursdays, Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in politics, my friend and yours. He's going to be with us all hour. We are going to go deep, not just on Abrego Garcia's case, but as well as the contempt proceedings, hearings that are going to be happening, not just in Mr. Garcia's case, but also in the case that is proceeding or may proceed or may not proceed beyond the contempt hearings before Judge Boasberg, which is the overarching challenge, the class action styled challenge to Trump's invocation of the Alien Enemies Act to kidnap people in the middle of the night and, you know, send them to a foreign gulag without any due process, even though the Constitution explicitly prohibits that. So we'll talk about all of that. I know many of you have been listening and want to share your thoughts and opinions. Tom and I want to hear those. 855-752-4842. There is a bit of breaking news that I want to bring to you all that relates to this conversation. Just within the last 30 minutes, the Donald Trump administration has requested and the Supreme Court has granted a hearing on an emergency request for relief. So you've heard me talk about the shadow docket. This is where the Supreme Court is asked to step in and undo a temporary ruling by a lower court. This is the case where there are, I think, at least three federal courts that, in response to three different lawsuits brought in three different states by different groups of individuals, granted injunctions, some of them nationwide, prohibiting Donald Trump from doing anything about his executive order that seemingly attempted to rewrite our Constitution and strip away birthright citizenship. Most constitutional scholars have said he can't do that. The language from the courts that have heard this case to date, at least three by my count, one of the judges said he found it to be like absolutely unbelievable that any lawyer would stand in his courtroom and argue that a president can wipe away a portion of the Constitution with an executive order. That's these cases. So that executive order has been paused. So the Trump administration then goes to the Supreme Court on the shadow docket, asks them to, on a temporary or emergency basis, step in and remove those injunctions that have been granted pending full litigation of the case. So what the Trump administration is asking the Supreme Court to do is undo what the lower courts have done and allow the Trump administration to apparently strip people of their citizenship, which to date has been an extraordinarily narrowly crafted act that the Supreme Court has been deeply suspicious of in almost all circumstances, i.e. the stripping of citizenship from people. They're asking the Supreme Court to allow them to do that, which you think he might then disappear people, stick them on a plane and send them somewhere. They're asking the Supreme Court to allow the Trump administration to do that while the cases are fully litigated, which will take months and months.
Can but Maggie, isn't this going to end right back up at the Supreme Court doorstep? Because it's something they're going to have to decide anyways.
Correct. But here's the thing that's really weird about this one, Tom. And I think we already have many reasons to be afraid. This is another, oh my God, what is going to happen next? Right. These are not unusual requests from the Trump administration to undo intermediate temporary decisions by district courts. They're doing that almost in every case where their actions are being challenged. Typically, the Supreme Court takes that matter under advisement and issues an order, an unsigned order typically. They don't have to write an opinion on it. They don't have to say who authored it or who voted for what. Sometimes they do, either granting or denying that emergency application for relief. Again, here the emergency request is, please let us strip people of their citizenship while this case proceeds. That's what the request is. That's in effect what it is.
There's no emergency that's moving this forward, and there's nothing that says that they need this ability to do this to protect the country from some harm.
No, and that's what the arguments may be about.
Right.
But to be clear, what is really scary here is that the Supreme Court granted the request for emergency review and they have scheduled oral arguments on it. This is virtually unheard of. Since 1971, it has only occurred in three other instances where an emergency application for relief on the shadow docket, which is an intermediate, non-final decision about whether or not a district court's intervention or ruling should stand. Only three times has this ever been permitted or granted by the Supreme Court. And those three times, the petitioner, the one that was requesting the Supreme Court to intervene in the case, each of those three times, the petitioner won. in this emergency relief application. So let me translate that for everybody. Only three times, every single time that happened, the petitioner won in those instances. The request for emergency relief was granted. Here again, what Donald Trump is asking the Supreme Court to decide is to permit him, until this case is fully litigated months and months and months from now, to be able to strip people of their citizenship. That's what he's asking the court. He is the petitioner here. Since 1971, petitioners have been batting 1,000. Every single civil rights organization and every single person who has ever said, I stand for individual rights and freedoms, every libertarian, every conservative who calls themselves a constitutionalist, who's a strict constructionist, who said they love them, some, what's the former Supreme Court Justice Scalia, who loved them some Scalia. Justice Scalia. Yep. This is Donald Trump saying, I get to trash the Constitution, strip people of their citizenship, and do what with them? I would argue disappear them, abduct them in the middle of the night and send them God knows somewhere, and then claim that you can't do anything about that. And what would the incentive be for Donald Trump to give them any due process anyways?
None.
None. I'll just strip your citizenship. I'll deprive you of due process. I'll send you to a foreign prison. And then I'll say, like Chuck Grassley did, well, the Supreme Court can't compel the president of El Salvador to do something. No, but the Supreme Court can damn well compel Americans on American soil to do some things.
So, Maggie, what you're saying is the Supreme Court most likely, based on precedent, will, rule for Donald Trump and allow his administration to deny birthright citizenship starting on whatever date they decide. And then this will come back to the Supreme Court. So what does that mean for people born in the United States who would normally have birthright citizenship? What does that mean between
they're
the
citizens,
time they ruled
yeah,
this?
Yeah, they're citizens today, Tom. Does it mean going forward, just people newly born to... I don't know. You would think the Supreme Court would need to...
Huge gray area.
And talk about fear. I mean, holy cow.
Right. But that's why I'm saying there is no emergency dictating this except for the emergency that is in the Trump administration's mind that they want to limit the amount of people who are undocumented from having children in the United States.
But I want to be... I don't think that's quite the right way to construct... To construct what's happening here. It's more draconian than that. That makes it sound like it's somehow about border security. It's not.
Well, that's their argument.
As a matter of constitutional principle, what they're saying, it's if you're getting rid of birthright citizenship, are you arguing that you can strip citizenship from people already born here? Is it just on a go forward basis?
Yes.
Should people induce labor now?
Right.
This is so insane.
That's how big this ruling would be.
Correct.
But to me, that's one of the reasons why they should wait. They should not be hearing this
case.
They should wait until it comes back through the courts.
And allow full briefing.
Yes.
Let the case be.
Yes.
Folks, Tom's here to tamp out my on fire hair. We're going
to
bring you all into this conversation. 855-752-4842. Birthright citizenship no more, courtesy of the Supreme Court. We discuss next. Keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinair on Air.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay, it's GA.
going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. Cal on the board today trying to chill me out with some smooth tones of Fleetwood Mac. Thank you, Cal on the board. We got Jamie Martinson, my senior producer, helping us out. And my fine guest co-host with me today, Tom Paulswitz, and each and every one of you. We began the show by talking about some breaking news. The Trump administration has asked the Supreme Court to step in on an emergency basis before the case relating to birthright citizenship is fully litigated. The emergency request to the Supreme Court is that they basically permit the Trump administration to get rid of birthright citizenship while the case is actually litigated and proceeds in the ordinary course. This would lead to months of uncertainty for individuals born to non-citizens, but born in this country, if the Supreme Court grants the relief that Donald Trump seeks. I think it would put into question potentially every single person who has citizenship if they were not born to parents already citizens, would throw into question their continued status as citizens as well. Yes. You would hope the Supreme Court would clarify that. What does this mean if they grant that relief? And here's the thing that has me really tuned up. This should have been an easy, no, we're not reviewing what these intermediate courts did. That's what the Supreme Court could have done. But they didn't do that. They have agreed to take up the Trump administration's request to potentially strip, I don't know, hundreds of thousands, millions of Americans of their citizenship. And they took the extraordinary step of scheduling oral arguments. They basically never do this. In the last 50 years, they've only done it three times before. And every time they did it before, they granted the petitioner's request. In other words, the Supreme Court's history tells us that when they schedule oral arguments, they're inclined to agree with the person requesting the relief, here, the Trump administration. This would be horrible, would be a word. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Tom, all of this is coming, and then we're going to go to the phones, but I just, stitching all of this together, you have an administration that is openly flouting court orders in at least two matters, two judges saying we're going to have to look at contempt, including criminal contempt, as well as civil contempt. We have a president that simply refuses to do what any basic morality, any sense of ethics, any sense of the rule of law would require, which is simply requesting publicly and privately that the president of El Salvador return Abrego Garcia. He's refusing to do that.
Even just privately.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to do anything publicly.
Can you make this guy available to us? We'll put him on a plane and take him home.
Right. I don't know how he got back here, but he's back here, and now everybody be okay with it.
Yeah. So flouting the rule of law, doing things that are unconstitutional, depriving people of due process, ignoring the courts when they order him to remediate those harms. Oh, and then asking the Supreme Court to give him a magic wand to erase citizenship for people. Folks, this is what dictators do. I mean, this is it. It wasn't Trump derangement syndrome. Like, this is actually what's happening. And I just, the complete ridiculousness of the idea that we can't do anything about El Salvador. No, you're choosing not to, even though the Supreme Court told you to do everything to facilitate his return. So you can launch a trade war against basically the whole world, upset global markets for weeks on end, drive up inflation, threaten to fire the Fed chair, which we'll get to today as well. You can try to force the EU and China to come to terms. You're going to hard drive all these incredible negotiations. You're going to bring about peace in the Middle East, slam a resort in Gaza, tell Russia to stop bombing Ukraine, solve that problem. But you can't pick up the phone and call the president of El Salvador and be like, hey, we got a couple people there that shouldn't be there. Sorry about that. Can you please send them back? By the way, they put women on those planes. And El Salvador to be like, this gulag that we run down here, we don't put women in this gulag. You guys got to take those back. Seriously.
Right. Yes, because it's that harsh and that bad. But Maggie, does any of this surprise you? Infuriates different, but does it surprise you? Because it doesn't surprise me.
The scale isn't the right word. The brazenness, lack of any even sort of colorable. There's no fig leaf, right? Like, unless you've drank the MAGA cult water. Right. This is concerning, right? Like, good faith Republicans, good faith conservatives of all stripes, they're concerned. Republicans on the Hill are concerned. They just don't talk about it publicly because they don't want to get primary.
You heard Lisa Murkowski say she lives in fear.
Like, what are you going to do about it? Like, where's the guy with Greg? I'm pissed. Like,
but you and I talked about it, right? I'm pissed. But you and I talked about it in November. We said we're going to find out if the guardrails hold.
Hold, yes.
And what we're finding is the guardrails aren't holding.
Correct. I made this argument last week that this decision by the Supreme Court on Mr. Garcia's case was so wishy-washy. It accepted the presumption that government representations of fact should be given any kind of credence at all without further inquiry. They shouldn't anymore. These people are lying all the time.
Right.
It's just bananas.
Because it's both ignorance and arrogance combined on a spectacular scale.
Yeah.
There's so much incompetence happening coupled with arrogance that we're right. And the guardrails that are supposed to be holding aren't holding. And it's, you know, and kudos to Harvard. I know we'll get to that. Harvard for having finally standing up. But if Harvard can't stand up, who can?
You know, with biggest endowment. Endowment,
right? So, but this is where we're at, though. We're at the point where it's going to take a few people to stand up and go, no.
It's going to take more than a few. It's going to take each and every one of you. Tom, me, Cal, Jamie, all of us together. We're stronger together. We do this together. We're going to continue this conversation together when we come back on the other side. 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun.
It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you on a Thursday. We had the chance to meet scientist, inventor, and animal expert Dr. Temple Grandin while she was speaking at the UW-Madison campus. She tells us about her newest experiment next.
Of the grain crops, wheat and barley are two of the most sensitive to copper deficiencies. Badge SC from Gowan USA is effective for overcoming copper deficiencies while providing broad-spectrum disease protection. Badge SC can be applied from the end of dormancy through boot and tank mixed with many herbicides, fertilizers, or fungicides. When it comes to improving the yield and quality of your wheat and barley, Badge SC has you covered. Ask your ag retailer about Badge SC, America's number one selling liquid copper brand. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Company.
Dr. Temple Grandin is a professor at Colorado State University, and she works with young professionals to help them see through the eyes of the animals that they're working with. This helps handlers better understand animal behavior to keep the livestock calm and safe. She's been doing visual experiments with horses to give people an idea of how animals think.
Well, one of my students recently did a study, name is Megan Corgan, which may explain why sometimes a horse just spooks for no reason. And we took a children's play set that has a little swing and a slide for a toddler. Now, when you think about it, when you rotate that 90 degrees, that slide looks really, really different. So she walked horses past this little colorful children's play set until they no longer stopped, no longer looked at it. And when the play set was rotated, it became a new object. You see, we would look at it and go, it's a kid's toy. Horse doesn't know it's a kid's toy.
Keep that in mind the next time you get frustrated while working with cattle or horses. Dr. Temple Grandin taking some time with us. I've got more farm news coming your way.
Weeds don't know what's coming when you've got the right post-emergence adjuvants. With Last Chance Pro and Taprin from CHS, supercharge your herbicides, helping them attack resistant weeds more effectively. Last Chance Pro improves absorption, ensuring herbicides penetrate deep for better impact, while Taprin spreads and activates herbicides evenly, keeping your fields cleaner for longer. When your herbicides work smarter, you spend less time fighting weeds and more time growing healthy crops. Ask your local retailer about Last Chance Pro and Taprin today or visit chsagronomy.com.
11 Wisconsin businesses are getting a Buy Local, Buy Wisconsin grant. The goal is to help grow the local food economy. Some of the projects that are going to benefit from state dollars include building a demonstration farm and processing facility, raising local lamb to replace imported lamb meat, and expanding maple syrup production. You can see the list of companies and projects at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're on our website, don't forget to follow along with us on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report and Instagram at MWF Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and breezy today, with high temperatures reaching the low 60s and scattered showers rolling in late this afternoon. As they continue through this evening, chances of thunderstorms are also possible, bringing the risk of hail. We're expected to pick up around a half an inch of rainfall. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwaba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. And then all the way from WGBW, Amanda Nimmer joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show with special guest co-host Tom Paulswitz today, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And don't forget, everybody, starting next week, Wednesday, I'm going to be in a new time slot, which is going to be so much fun. From 4 to 6 p.m., you're going to find us in your drive time. We got Pat Kreitlow, who's going to start off our mornings with a special three-hour program, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, brought to you, powered by Up North News. That's going to have, in each hour, a good big fat segment that's dedicated to the specific local news from your local Civic Media affiliated radio station. Matt and Ayers on Air is going to follow Pat from 9 to 11. From 11 to 2, we're bringing on Tom Hartman, national host. So you'll get to hear Tom's ideas about things. I know I'll be listening as well. We got Todd Alba then from 2 to 4 in this fine time slot. So you got a whole new lineup for you starting next Wednesday. Mark your calendars. Tell all your friends. They've never been able to check out this show because they're working. Now's their chance. Yes. And I'm very happy to say, Tom, you will be joining me on Mondays. You're going to move from Thursdays to Mondays, which, ladies and gentlemen, is going to give you a big chance to have a longer chit chat with Tom and I, because I usually start out the weeks, you know, with my hair on fire, with a lot to say about things. So I'm looking forward to changing it up a little bit with you and hopefully creating a space where we can have as much dialogue with our fine listeners as we can.
And I am also, I can't wait, because, you know, some things happen over the weekend and they usually aren't typically good things that happen. So a lot to talk about on Monday.
Yeah, the Sunday talk shows, the whole there'll be a couple of two, three things, I suspect.
Yeah.
So to bring everybody back up to speed, the Supreme Court seems poised to permit Donald Trump's executive order eliminating birthright citizenship and rewriting the Constitution. Seems like they might be interested in allowing that to happen. I guess, Tom, that's what's surprising to me. Not that Trump is attempting to do any of these things, right? Not that he's done any of them. Not that he has a whole cabal of co-conspirators. Not that Elon Musk is trying to dismantle the government, except where it comes to things that give him billion-dollar contracts. Right. Not that they want to give more tax breaks to billionaires and companies like Amazon. None of that surprises me. What surprises me is, frankly, how badly courts have been doing, especially the Supreme Court, in reacting in real time. That's what's surprising to me. Courts, you know, you can't apply the old way of doing business when someone else doesn't play by any of those rules. Like, you have to speed things up. And most of these courts aren't speeding things up. They're trying some, but it's not nearly fast enough. And of course, the Supreme Court, completely unreliable actor.
When they need to be fast, they're slow. And when they need to be slow, they're fast.
Right, like this. I mean, yes. So again, birthright citizenship gone.
But Maggie, for you,
yes.
If let's say they rule in Trump's favor,
yeah,
so what would the legal opinion look like to say that birthright citizenship is not part of the Constitution? What would, because somebody's written it already, it's somewhere. So what would that look like in your eyes?
That's a damn good question. I'm just trying to even think of, like, what words would I use to nullify a portion of the Constitution? They're going to have to go real deep into executive branch powers. Like, we don't have a declared war.
Right.
So I don't know what that looks like. And I mean, all of this, again, we'll disappear people in the middle of the night, right? We'll send them to gulags. We'll not do anything to get them back. We'll defy court orders. No more birthright citizenship. And Steve Bannon, you know, we not only have Steve Bannon saying and Donald Trump saying he's going to run for a third term. Donald Trump saying, oh, yeah, I want to try to deport citizens.
Right.
So let's take a listen first to Bannon.
This is just scary.
I haven't said we're going to amend the Constitution. We're working on five or six different alternatives that President Trump could run again and be president. And quite frankly, I think four or five of them are going to work. And I continue to say, as I told Bill Maher, on the afternoon of January 20th of 2029, Donald Trump's going to be president for his third term.
Okay, so that, and then, you know, Donald Trump saying, I want to deport those homegrown people. Let's take a listen to that one. I believe. Yep, here we go. Homegrowns are next. He's been asked a number of times to clarify every time he does. He says, yep, I want to deport citizens who commit terrible crimes. There is absolutely no mechanism in our Constitution to do that. When that has been attempted before, has not worked. Supreme Court's been very hostile. But what Bannon and Trump are reflecting is that this Supreme Court seems inclined to permit these things, at least on some kind of temporary basis, which is the point. To scare the crap out of people. So let's, again, recapping. We'll wipe away birthright citizenship. We'll deny due process. We'll send you to concentration camps because that's what they are. And, oh, yeah, I want to do this to citizens, too. So who decides? Who's there to protect people? The Supreme Court seems pretty uninterested. It's just shocking. Let's take a few texts, and then we're going to go to the phones. Adam from Oregon. Hey, Adam, does this mean the U.S. government would have the power to declare a child born in the U.S. not a U.S. citizen, even if they're both their mother and father are U.S. citizens? Nope, that's different. This is a specific provision that gives citizenship even if the parents are not citizens. But it begs, you know, where your head's going, Adam, and I know I saw a question like that from another one of our texters, where your head's going with that is a really good damn question.
Yes.
Oh, so I criticize Donald Trump every day on the radio. So does he then get to come and say, I pose a threat to the United States? I'm a traitor. And so I'm going to have my citizenship stripped and he's going to send me to Guantanamo Bay or render me, meaning rendition, to some black site? Like, who decides? That's what's really scary here.
Yeah, I think the process, though, is step number one is sending the IRS after you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, i.e. Harvard. And then step number two would be, yep, we're just going to whisk you away because you're clearly a danger to our society.
Catherine from Saukville asking, isn't Melania a person who is granted citizenship? What's her status? Well, she got citizenship through marriage, not by birthright citizenship, so different. It's funny how that works out for Donald Trump and the people in his immediate closest circle.
Elon Musk,
like, he's good.
Yes.
Brian from Green Bay, I bet Pete Hegseth is loving all this. No kidding. We're not even talking about Signalgate anymore. Anne sending me a photograph of her sister's visiting in Romania, took a photo. Somebody had graffitied F Trump in Portugal, in Portugal.
Yes.
Wow. Let's go to the phones and then I'm going to take a few more texts. Anne, you've been very patient. Anne from Chippewa Falls, say hello to Tom. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Tom. Well, my thoughts are it'll be like a Gestapo. I mean, do people want to live in this country seeing all of this terror and these young children being pulled out of schools and their homes? It just devastates me. I feel like there will be some type of civil war if this actually the Supreme Court allows this. It's not going to be good.
Yeah, I think, you know, the warning lights have been blinking. We've been sounding the alarms. The things that we were concerned about have happened. The only people that are deranged are folks that don't see any problem here.
Right. Stephen Miller thinks this is a winning argument for the Republicans right now, that no matter how hard they push on deportation, their followers will eat it up. And so that is why they're dominating the airwaves and what they're doing with it now to take away from the economy and everything else that's happening.
And I'll just say this. The rights of minorities, and I don't mean our historical concept, I don't mean just black and brown people, but I mean people who are not 51%, okay? People who are in minority groups are supposed to be protected by the courts in this country from a concept called the tyranny of the majority. Simply because the majority of us are like, hey, you know what would be good? Public floggings. Let's bring those back. And you know what we should do it on the basis of? Those nasty uppity women who've got opinions and who don't walk 10 feet behind their husbands. Yep, that's where we're... Just because the majority think that's a good idea doesn't mean it's legal, doesn't mean it's moral, doesn't mean it's right. And that seems to be the argument. They're not arguing about it on, well, this is perfectly moral and this is... No. It's, well, more people voted for me than the other guy, so I get to do whatever I want.
Yes.
Not how it works. Not how it works. Edward, John, thank you for texting in. Robert from McFarland, hey, is Dom retiring or leaving radio? Dom is taking a break from radio, I think is a way to put it. I am extremely humbled to be taking over that slot, particularly given the incredible legacy in that drive time slot from Dom and Mike Krupp before him. I hope I can do it even a small modicum of justice. I will try my best. I hope you keep listening. Robert, I appreciate that. Kurt from Madison. The three legs involved in destroying democracy are the failure of Congress financially and the financial breaking of the country and the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Once Trump accomplishes these three things, then he'll say, see, you need a strong man to control the country, and we don't need the Supreme Court or Congress anymore either. I'll just be the decider. He also says this is how they maintain unqualified white men in power. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's a goodly amount of that, too. We've got Mark from Prairie du Sac, my friend. How are you? Say hello to Tom. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Well, hey, guys. Yeah, it's difficult to remain... FCC compliant here, though I will do it. I mean, it is beyond belief that the Supreme Court is looking at that. And the fact of the matter is that I don't know if Barron Trump's mother was actually a citizen. She wasn't a citizen when he was planted, but he may not have been a citizen. She may not have been a citizen when he was actually born, because she made a citizen in 2006. Apparently, for Don Jr., Eric, and Ivanka Trump, their mother was not a citizen when they were born. So should their citizenship be called into question? I mean, this thing is just ridiculous. If you're born in this country, it's been what we thought for, you know, since the amendment was passed, that you're a citizen, pure and simple. I mean, that. What about all those kids that were born in Trump's Moscow, you know, delivery room hotels down there in Florida, where all his Russian buddies were coming over there and their mistresses were spawning out you know, new little American citizens, so they should come back and be the oligarch's representative in this country in a few years.
Yeah, it is very disturbing. Perhaps just as disturbing, Cal, I sent you a link for Senator Murkowski. I think it's a pretty clean piece of sound, if we can take that.
It is a minute long, so we'll have to wait till after the break.
We'll have to take a little time, because what Senator Lisa Murkowski has said is the problem. She is the problem. Joan, like, she is the problem.
But she's not admitting she's the problem.
No, complete. I have a friend who spent a long time in the Marine Corps, said, we used to get graded for self and situational awareness.
Right.
Is that not a thing anymore? Apparently not.
Clearly. Clearly
we continue not. This great discussion. We're going to talk Harvard and the Fed after we listen to Lisa Murkowski's scary words. All coming up next right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's another community reminder from 107.5 WLAK. Join the hunt and attend Amory Bunny Bash going on Saturday, April 19th to be held at Michael Park in Amory. There's a fireman's pancake breakfast, Easter photos, kids games, a coloring contest, and an egg hunt at 10:30 a.m. That's all Saturday, April 19th at Michael Park in Amory. A reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While corrosive democracy news from Washington continued this week, state news ranged from good in Delaware and Mississippi, mixed in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, to downright ugly in New Hampshire. Voting Rights Lab reports the Delaware Senate advanced SB 2 and SB 3, constitutional amendments allowing 10 days of early voting and no excuse absentee voting. Legislative versions of both bills passed last year, but the Delaware Supreme Court found that the state constitution didn't enable them. The General Assembly must pass them again next year for them to be adopted. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Mississippi to redraw state Senate districts for DeSoto County, which it found violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act by diluting a majority black section of the county, according to Mississippi Today. State officials in North Carolina found fewer issues among the 5,000 military and overseas voters than the Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin claimed, but the highly questionable post-election review of voter eligibility continues. Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday appealed a federal court ruling directing county officials to count otherwise eligible mail-in ballots without a date. The New Hampshire Senate advanced SB 213, which would require voters applying by mail for an absentee ballot to enclose a copy of their birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, almost certainly disenfranchising otherwise eligible voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got one more segment before we move on to Harvard and the Fed and Jerome Powell. That's going to be a fascinating discussion with my guest co-host this afternoon, Tom Paulsiewicz. The tick list. I want to deport citizens. I want to strip citizenship from people. I'm going to ignore court orders. I'm going to deprive people of due process, even though it's guaranteed under the United States Constitution. And I'm going to be president for a third term, amongst various other illegal, hateful, and cruel actions. Yes.
And I'm going to extract over $1 billion of free legal work.
Yes.
In order to make sure I can do those things.
Right.
And I'm going to basically kill the academia in this country from having a voice in whatever we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. And that's not taking through, I'm dismantling the Veterans Administration, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all the billionaire tax cuts, all that stuff. I just mean on the constitutional stuff. Wow. That's what we got going on. It is existential because consider this. News being reported just today by Wisconsin Public Radio, which of course Donald Trump also wants to defund, by Wisconsin Public Radio. I want every single one of you who are listening to pay attention to this next part, because if you're thinking, my family's been here for 100 years. None of this matters to me. This buds for you. The federal government will find you, the headline reads. Immigration officials wrongly told a Fox Valley man to leave the United States. Here's the article I rarely read. I'm going to do it because we just got this. It's brand new. When Neenah resident Tom Franz got a pair of identical emails last Friday that said they were from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, he shrugged it off at first. Then he said he read the email more closely and was very concerned. This guy has been a citizen forever.
He's a retired college administrator and teacher. He was born in Western Pennsylvania. The email said he was in the United States on humanitarian parole, which was being terminated. Quote, if you do not depart the United States immediately, you will be subject to a potential law enforcement action that will result in your removal from the United States. Do not attempt to remain in the United States. The federal government will find you. Please depart the United States immediately. He's never applied for, nor has he ever been on humanitarian parole. He's lived in the Fox Valley since 1981. Worked at UWO. So if this can happen to Mr. Franz in the Fox Valley, you don't think it can happen to you? And here's what ended up happening as well. He reaches out to Tammy Baldwin's office, who gets right on it. They find out that there was a few categories of people that got these emails. The emails typically went to someone who was, in fact, applying for asylum or parole, immigration lawyers, non-governmental organizations, and people who financially support asylum applicants, which, okay, so you just target all those people because they're what? Right. Using the system in, anyways.
The way it's meant to be used. Correct.
It's its own problem there.
Yep.
But Mr. Franz is like, I'm not any of those things. I've literally never been involved with the immigration system at all. What the hell? I mean, here's what he said. If I'm getting this, there's probably a lot of other people who got this. We don't know how many people are on the distribution list. I think it's important that people stay vigilant and that they take their emails seriously. Don't click on the links, but investigate them. Yeah, and maybe investigate your votes.
Maggie, there's a star at the end of the email that says, if this does not pertain to you, please ignore.
Or not. Just leave. You one of those lefties? Why don't we leave? The federal government will find you.
I hit the wrong
oops,
list.
Oops. Yeah. Let's listen to Lisa Murkowski, one of our fearless senators, yes, on standing up to Donald Trump's unconstitutional actions.
What do you have to say to people who are afraid? Or who represent people who are afraid? We are all afraid. Okay. That's what I'm saying. But we are, we're in a time and a place where I don't know. I certainly have not. I have not been here before. And I'll tell you, I'm oftentimes very anxious myself about using my voice, because retaliation is real, and that's not right.
I'm afraid of using my voice because retaliation is real. I'm sorry, Senator Murkowski, then quit.
Yes. Don't be a senator.
That's your damn job. If the retaliation you're talking about is an audit, maybe not being reelected, that doesn't count. Okay? You have all of the power that most of us don't. Use your voice. That is an absolutely unacceptably cowardly pile of nonsense from a sitting U.S. senator. We need to demand more of them. I'm looking at you too, Chuck Grassley, Ron Johnson, and the entire GOP delegation from Wisconsin in the House of Representatives.
I think that was written by Susan Collins, though.
Yeah,
it was just translated.
It could have been either one of them. Susan Collins, yes. Murkowski, you right. Cowards. We come back, we're going to talk about the extortion of Harvard that didn't. And we're going to talk about Donald Trump threatening Fed.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Author and columnist Doug Moe joins us. His new work called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, about the University of Wisconsin biochemist. Don't want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
When your car is making a strange noise, no matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone or just taking a deep, calming breath to ground yourself. Because once you start to address the problem, you can go so much further. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Following today's shooting at Florida State University in Tallahassee, multiple law enforcement tell ABC News at least one person is dead and six others injured. Students and faculty told to shelter in place when gunfire began ringing out just after noon. Police responded to an active shooter call near the student union. Danielle Estridi was able to evacuate, she says, when it all went down, and told ABC News, described what she witnessed.
I did see at least one. The law enforcement had took that person out on a stretcher and laid them in the street until EMS showed up. There was one person across the way that seemed to get escorted in an office chair with wheels.
Over 40,000 students attend FSU's Tallahassee campus. President Trump at the White House says he's been briefed and called the shooting a horrible incident. Attorney General Pam Bondi says the FBI also on scene, and she offered prayers. This is ABC News.